Hi, this is John Delancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello and welcome to the pull bag. This is episode 516. I'm, of course, Steve Joe and Mike. Joining me once, sort of, kind of, almost, as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Yes, yes. And we are back to talk about IDW Publishing's Star Trek. This is issues 4 and 5 we'll be discussing in this episode of the podcast. It's the Benjamin Sisko adventures, which apparently don't mention Benjamin Sisko to Optimus Solo because he's not exactly a fan of Sisko. But that was a whole Twitter thread that apparently you were left out of, and I'll have to send that to you later because yikes. It was hilarious. It was so funny. And I kind of teased a new thing that you and I are going to be doing. I've kind of sort of been a little bit teasing. Like, I just used there really is no acronym. One of the first shows in our history we don't have an actual true acronym for, but...
Yet.
Well, I mean, ADF... WST doesn't really spell anything. All right, Star Trek number 4. Creative on this, as always, Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly were the writers. Artists, Ramon Rosanas and Oleg Chetikov. The colorist is Lee Lockridge. Letters done by Clayton Cowles. Oh, hey, I know Clayton. No, in quotes, Clayton. Design and production done by Neil Yukitai. The senior editor is Heather Antos, and the editorial assistant was Vanessa Reel. So we start with the Elkars, and boy was I confused when I first opened this. This is issue 4. How are we at chapter 33? And then I realized it's an Elkars panel.
He's reading a book.
Yeah, yeah. He's reading his little eye device there. But yeah, we start off with Sisko and his narration about how he's supposed to talk with his son Jake and all of that, and just all of the ways that father and son, and, you know, he's like, oh, I should bring this up to him. Oh, no, don't worry about it. It's nothing. And then we get a really nice shot of the Theseus. I almost say you take that design, but no, I like my other choice better.
Me too.
Out of all the ships in all the worlds, the one I pick is the one from almost 40 years ago.
Hey, it's a good ship.
I'm not saying it isn't at all. Hello,
I think they're bringing it back, too.
Good. Absolutely. So good. So good. So we have the other crew members here looking at this crystalline entities and the shapers and Q, and what do they all have in common, and it's... something about tachyons, I guess. And how there's no mass in space.
Yeah, it's something that I don't expect to understand tachyons.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of are the plot device needed at a certain point in time.
Yes, yes.
So they can really mean anything.
Yeah.
I like Scotty going,
you're thinking about this too hard. You'll want to see space-time fabric operating beyond the warp threshold. All you gotta do is look at subspace.
Mm-hmm. Subspace, you're a genius, Mr. Scott. I know.
Well, he wrote the book, so, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah. You know. This new city, or this city that they've come upon, is it Takan? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if it was Takan, as in like T-Con, K-O-N, Con, or Takan, like a certain idiot villain was going to come back. you know, like the Wrath of and all of that. So we got Sisko and Data in there. And this is what I love about this series to this point and continuing on further is how much the new crew and the old crew, like their ideas kind of combine. Like you just mentioned with Scotty, you know, telling the younger crew members what to look for and whatever else. And the whole thing between Data and the other two crew members and Sisko, and Data's talking to Sisko like he's Picard. He's not Picard. Sisko just laughs at him. There's no way I'm asking permission to save the universe.
Pretty much.
He's right. I mean, you know. Yeah. Absolutely. I love the interiors of the ship. I love all the little not nooks and crannies, but is it just me or is it weird that it's green? Or is that just because is that the actual color of the inside of the ship is green?
I don't know.
That's just, I mean, I would assume that's, you know, that is a physical chair that Sisko is sitting in that he is grabbing the arm of when he says engage, and they go warping off into whatever.
It could be the lighting.
Yeah, it could be.
But I'm not thinking.
I'm not thinking it's the lighting. Like I said, he's gripping the arm of that chair, and you see in the art, like with his hand gripping the side of it. There's no way that's a light trick. There's just no way. It's a green. It's a lime. No, it's a mint green interior. Oh, Karen would love that. Wouldn't you love mint green paint for some odd reason? I don't know why. Oh boy. So they go through warp space and they come out the other side and holy crap. We have, there's something absolutely huge out there on screen. Beautiful. This is a god city apparently.
Yeah.
Okay. Why does the god city have these spider tentacles pointed at the city like it's going to come crashing down on it?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question.
You're pulling an Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
It almost looks like a, you know, his arc reactor.
A little bit, yeah. And all right, so we had an Iron Man reference. We're going to get a Transformers reference later.
Is it more than meets the eye?
No, I mean, we can always work that into anything, can't we?
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. Is it this issue? Yeah, it's because they found this planet thing. It's coming up, actually, because they see the brain of the thing. So they're going through and they're trying to figure out what this city is or what the planet is. And you got that's not Troy, is it? Who is that? Is it Beverly? Yeah, that's.
It's Beverly.
Yeah, it's Crusher, not Troy is Deanna Troy. Okay, Counselor Troy. I've got too much Star Trek on the brain, folks, because of things that are coming soon to the Geekcast Radio Network, and I'm trying to keep it all straight, and I only have one brain. Sometimes I wish I had two.
If he only had a brain.
No, I have one. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's not functioning properly sometimes. So they are inspecting this thing and looking at it and figuring out what it is. And then they see, would you look at that? That's an entire structure built direct symbiosis with a life form curled at the center of it. So there is a life form curled at the center of this city. There is an episode in G1. I believe it's in season 3. Maybe it's there's one where they go out to an asteroid and they find this egg. They crack open the asteroid. There's a creature inside of the asteroid. Same damn thing. Same damn thing. I'm not complaining about this. I'm just making the references all. Is when I started reading this and I got to this point, I'm like, hey, where have I seen that before?
Oh, that's funny.
Transformers. Absolutely funny. So this living city is living. I do love the younger crew members. So what Is this an actual god? We are both observing the same data, Lily. So you don't want to know either, right? Right on. And then, of course, you know, Scotty, my antimatter scrubbers. Oh, him and his antimatter scrubbers.
He's not happy unless he's in engineering.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't want to say that's where he belongs, but everyone has a calling in life, and Scotty's an engineer. And, you know, we get the villain of the series, I don't know if it's going to be the entire, our god killer has just rolled in. It's the Klingons. Of course it is.
Emperor Kalus.
Emperor Kalus. You suck, Emperor Kalus.
You suck. You suck.
He's a clone. He's not even the real one.
You suck and you're a clone. How bad is your day going?
Yeah, they took his DNA off of a blade and cloned him in a TNG episode.
Oh, damn. That's hilarious. So we have Kalus, and he's the new emperor, and we have a personal log from Worf, I think. Yeah, it's from Lieutenant Worf, yeah. So this was 9 years ago in the whole text thing here about, you know, explaining to us, the readers, about who Kalus is and the whole backstory there and all that. So that's very, very cool. We have Worf, Sisko, and Mr. Paris. And Mr. Paris is basically saying, don't worry, she may be smaller than us, but we were built to run. Love that. What are you thinking to this point in this fourth issue?
I like the things that kind of happen back and forth with the different cast in this. I definitely love the mixture of different eras of Trek. You've got the original series with Scotty. You've got TNG with Data, Worf, and Dr. Crusher. You get Deep Space Nine with Sisko and Voyager with Tom Paris. And then you get the other two, the Andorian and the Vulcan.
Yep.
I think it's kind of neat that they turned Kalus into this destroyer of the godlike entities in Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Considering he's supposed to be revered kind of that way. And then it's funny that they're kind of making this giant endeavor between, it's kind of like a face off between Sisko and Kalus.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I really like the fact that we're getting to that point where there's going to be this ultimate showdown.
Yep. And yeah, it's very much ultimate showdowning. They even have a whole panel of quantum torpedoes incoming, like the whole two ships facing each other in space with the Theseus on the left and the Klingon warbird on the right. Yeah, very, very cool. I'm digging this. I'm digging the art. I'm digging the characters. And basically Kalus just wants destruction. That's all he wants. And, you know, that's pretty much it. And the issue basically ends with, Worf saying, they're charging the weapon that Klingons killed their gods. And now we're going to finish the job. Oh, boy. The issue 4, I really dig it. I think it's cool. I think it's fun. I think we are setting stuff up to have a really cool climax to this story. I don't know what the ultimate thing is going to be. I don't know how Jackson and Colin are like how are they I assume it's going to be one long storyline, but I assume that villains will come in and out of the thing. I don't like there's only so far you could take one character as the bad guy kind of thing, unless it's, you know, somebody that, I mean, Kalis could come back. We don't know, but you know what I mean? Like I'm just wondering like how the writers and the creators are going to set out the rest of the series as it goes. And issue four, I really, really, really liked it. I like all of the different character moments. I like that almost every major character gets a speaking line. I like that individual characters interact with each other in ways that you wouldn't think
normally
that they
wouldn't
would
get the chance to.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know,
well, especially with the actors passing away.
Yes.
You know, across different eras of Trek.
Yeah.
You get this nice timing of it all.
Yep.
Because this kind of takes place before Nemesis.
Yeah. Does it?
Yeah. Well, Data's still alive.
Oh, okay. Well, then that one. When did he die? I'm not in a Trekkie, folks. Oh. I don't think I've...
2379 in Trek history.
Okay. I know
we covered... Has returned.
Wait, what has returned?
If people want to know, they'll find out.
I know we covered all the Star Trek films on a previous podcast that we used to do, but I honestly don't remember that far back. I remember the good Star Trek films that I liked, but I don't remember ever watching Nemesis.
I mean, it's all right.
Oh boy. Issue four, any final thoughts or anything like that, and rating and all that good stuff?
I'd give it a four just because I was wanting more out of it, but it's not that it was bad or anything. I just I was wanting a little bit more, which we get in the next issue.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with the single issue reviews and stuff, is that we're, even though we're doing these two issues at a time, these are monthly comics currently. They're not in trade paperback yet, and they have to find a way to grab readers every time. Either you have a full-on issue with action and all of that, or you have one with dialogue and storytelling and whatever, or you find a way to mix both. And I think this issue found a way to mix both, but you're right. It left me wanting more, so I will give it a 3.5 out of 5. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You can hear some ads and some other stuff, and we'll come back with issue 5 right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. Every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh yes, definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast, or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast, from the universe and beyond. Transformers!
You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic. which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
The Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com, at iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
All right, folks. Star Trek number 5 from IDW Publishing. Kelly Lansing, Rosanas, Tomeo, and Lockridge, and Cowles are on creative. And this one basically kind of sort of starts off where the last one left off, but everybody is arguing and nobody has a solution yet. Sort of. Oh, they're not arguing. It just looks like they're arguing because...
It's because they're contemplating what to do because they can't damage Kalos's ship.
Yeah.
And Data points out the obvious. It's been altered with the Sarkadesh technology and reinforced beyond the frequency. What I really hate, and this has been a thing that they've been doing in modern Trek, not just here. They've been doing it on Picard. They've been doing it on, like, every series. The phrase, fire everything. Because they never do. Picard, what's funny is, in season 3, they yell it in like episode 3 or something, and he says, fire everything, you know, and there's no phasers, and they fire 3 photon torpedoes. And it's like, that's not everything.
And see,
and then in episode 8, one of the characters says, fire everything we've got, and they fire 4 photon torpedoes and no phasers. And it's like, when they did that in TNG, and they were firing against, like, the Borg or just, you know, something, and they were like, you know, give them everything we've got. You know, they would give them a full spread of every phaser array was firing off, and then they were firing torpedoes at the same time.
Yeah.
And in Deep Space Nine, they would do the same thing. So when they would say fire everything, they literally fired everything they had.
Yes.
Here, and in the modern TV shows... fire everything is relegated to 3 photon torpedoes, maybe 4. In this, they actually fired phasers instead of torpedoes.
Yep.
And they shot it technically a couple of the phaser arrays, because there's usually some in different places, but they still didn't fire everything.
I see. Okay, so there's the panel where...
There's 5 shots going from the Theseus.
Yeah.
So there could be 5 phaser arrays firing. However, that's not everything.
Yeah.
And it's showing the, you know, the ones from the nacelles and from the underside of the saucer section. There would be some on top of the saucer section, as well as a photon torpedo bay on the front and the back of the ship.
Yeah. And I understand your frustration with it, but I also understand, like, with what the art is.
It's the phrasing.
Well, right. No, I completely understand. But I'm saying, like, since they're using that phrasing, but yet the art isn't reflecting that phrasing, because look at how the Theseus is drawn and drawn and colored in that panel, where you only see the underside of it. So it would be a little weird trying to, like, I mean, maybe the next panel, if it shows, like, the next panel shows, like, 2 shots coming down vertically downwards. And, you're right. And honestly, the only time I ever want to hear fire everything is when Liam Neeson says it in 2010's The A-Team when they're flying a tank. It's the only time I want to hear anyone say fire everything, because they fired everything in that movie.
Tis true.
'Tis true. So they fire on the Klingon ship, and yeah, Klingon versus Klingon.
Klingon and Klingoff.
I was just going to say, yeah, I was just going to say, it's a Klingoff. Oh, boy. So we find out that Worf has a son, or maybe he's had this son.
His son was in TNG.
Right.
But he was a young boy.
Right. He was a young boy. But now we find out that his son, Alexander, has joined the Empire.
The cause of Kalus.
Yes. And again, I do like how they do the Elkars in between these with the primary education report and all of that. And I think that's very, very cool. So you got father and son versus each other. And then this, I don't know if this is actually in the, because we're using the IDW media copies, folks, that IDW sends out. I don't know if this is actually in the physical comic. If it is, it's weird for IDW to do it. But we get Worf and Alexander. Alexander says, "And the path we walk is red." And then we get an ad for Star Trek Deep Space Nine, The Dog of War. Very rare that IDW does ads. The IDW is not DC or Marvel. They normally don't put ads in their digital issues. Now, maybe the physical issues they do, but normally they don't. So that was, I was like, wait. At first I thought, oh, this, even though it's not even close to being a full page, you know, full page count comic, but, you know, "And the path we walk is red." That would have been a great cliffhanger. Short comic, but great cliffhanger. So Sisko is being contacted by his boffins or whatever the hell they are.
The prophets.
The prophets, there you go. And we see all the lights and they want him to do this and do that, and some is not all. The Sisko has met some. What will you do to stop it? And, you know, what I love about this whole scene is not what's going on with him and with the prophets, but how everyone around him is reacting to him basically being checked out.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I do like his little altercations with the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
However, I can see where it gets annoying.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah.
What else did you like about this one?
Well, this is where Worf decides to go off alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sisko's like, fire, and Worf's like, no, you cannot!
My son is on that ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sisko, like, very heartlessly, "Then you're relieved. Get off my bridge."
Exactly.
You know? And Worf is like, gladly, you know?
Yeah.
And it's horrible because...
Yep.
You know, they respected each other. They worked well with each other, but that was, you know, their time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's horrible because the prophets are trying to get him to destroy them.
Yeah. I do love the art, though.
Yeah. The art in this issue is epic. I love the detail.
Yep.
The amount of information that's passed throughout it is really well done. And then you get Sisko in an environmental suit.
Yep, because he has his own plan. Screw the prophets. I've got my own plan. And it's basically father and son and father and son. I mean, it's basically Sisko and Sisko and Worf and Alexander. It's Jake and Ben and Worf and Alexander kind of thing, which is really cool to me. I think that's awesome.
And then it's horrible because he saved this creature.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to destroy the Earth.
Yeah. Well, we already destroyed the planet long ago, so no big loss.
Yeah. And then it leads off at the end of the issue with Defiant.
Yep.
And Worf basically, and I've read that one.
Yeah, I haven't read that yet. I need to. We will be covering it soon, folks.
Yeah, he gets all these renegades from different places. And what's funny is some of it kind of plays into like Picard season 3.
Nice.
Like not entirely, but the way they use some of these characters, it's mm-hmm. very fitting.
Very cool. Very cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I love this story. I think this is really cool. I think the art is amazing. I think what they're doing with it is super cool. I could do without the tentacles, but that is what it is. That's just my personal thing, you know. So, but yeah, the end of this is like, you bring me only pain. I see into the soul of you, and I read your vast library. I see your home, and like you said, Earth, boom, dead. Okay. Well then. So this is issue 5, to be concluded. So I assume that they're going to go and do like 5-issue arcs. That's fine with me. Love that. That's cool. That's awesome. That's fun. That's easy.
Then they wrap it up really easily.
Yep. Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure we'll have plenty of battle scenes in the next issue and all of that. And I still can't get over the living city. That just looks weird. And more of that multicolored green. I don't know what I have against the color green right now, folks. But,
but yeah, yes. I'm not a huge fan of it either, but, you know.
I mean, I like the blue in it. I think the blue in it is cool, but just the...
Yeah, it just looks off.
On the cover for next month, where the Theseus is flying towards it or away from it or whatever. He's flying towards it, actually. Just the green that's part of the, I assume it's part of the tentacles. It just looks, it's just personal preference, folks. But yeah, issue 5, I will give this a 4. I really dug it. I thought it was great. I thought the conflict between Worf and Sisko, even though, you know, it's not going to get resolved anytime soon, but I like that because hopefully they can find a way later, maybe the next issue for the finale of this arc, to realize, oh, we both have sons. Oh, we both should be blah, 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 blah. Maybe we can do something like that or something.
Well, and now because of his interference and the way that he did it, he's getting to feel kind of what Worf was dealing with.
Yeah, a little bit.
Although it may make him double down on his stance, you know. Maybe. Just following the prophets. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, it is very, very hard to tell. Any other final thoughts on either issue 4 or 5, sir?
No, I just, yeah, I would give it a 4. Yeah, I'd give it a 4.
Yep. Right there with you. 4s all around. And, yeah, I think that's going to do it for us here inside the pull bag. You got anything you want to promote?
Not at present, but there shall be soon, I hope.
We're going to be defying you with a couple of fascinations really soon, folks. Thank you for joining us here inside the pull bag. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio for the network, @ThePullBag for the show. I am @TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
@SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out The Pullbag over there as well. Join us next time when we will be starting Autobotly April here in 2023, as we have a bunch of Transformers news we needed to catch up on, and then we dive back into, after 8 years, Transformers The Marvel U.S. Run Volume 2. So this is from IDW Publishing when they reprinted all the classic stuff. So Transformers Classics U.S. Volume 2 is coming up next, and then Volume 3 and Volume 4 for the rest of April. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron.
As always, make your greatest game to comics, and we will catch you next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThePullBag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullBag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.